Welcome to CRA Tips, a series created for CRA practitioners. We know that managing the Community Reinvestment Act program for your financial institution can be challenging, given the plethora of competing priorities. We know you're busy, so we will keep it tight and to the point. The weekly CRA Tips are designed to give you something quick to digest in between our CRA webinars, our newsletters, and blog posts. And for those of you who are new to me, I'm Linda Izuka, your host and founder of CRA Today and the CRA Hub. The CRA Hub is an exclusive membership for bankers to master the Community Reinvestment Act and transform disadvantaged communities through the power of economic development. And if you are joining the podcast for the first time, or are new to CRA Today, you will find that I'm very passionate about this community development work. So now let's get right to it. Enjoy the tip. Well, it's time for another CRA tip. I wanted to share a story of sorts with you. So I received an email from a CRA officer who recently took over the CRA program. Now, this officer is a very seasoned compliance officer, but never really had to run the CRA program. And wouldn't you know it, she got notice that the CRA exam was right in front of her. So not having the experience of running a CRA program, she got right to work on collecting her community development loan services and investments. Now, she had less experience in community development services, so she reached out. She's also a CRA Hub member, so wanted to support her with getting up to speed and getting ready to turn over data to her regulator. So she was inquiring about the CRA services documentation. So she was able to populate, of course, her list of what she believed to be community development services. And the examiners then reached back out and said, thank you for the list. How did you determine that the nonprofit organizations benefit the majority of low to moderate income individuals, right? What documentation do you collect and use regarding the same? So she wanted to reach out to say, well, what is standard? Because, you know, I'm newer at this. And I said, well, you know, there's no one type of approach to community development services documentation. But I did share that many of our bankers will use a nonprofit's annual report or their equivalent of a tax return. That's their IRS 990 document, might have some information there that she could source. Sometimes we look at websites, and sometimes we even reach out to the nonprofit executive director or president, although I try not to do that, but sometimes it's necessary, right? So whenever we inventory a community development service, we'll want to also make sure that we have documentation to prove what? Yes, to prove that that service had a primary purpose of community development, was also offered on behalf of the bank, and it also used financial expertise. And, you know, the FFIEC's Q&A documents certainly expands financial expertise. If you know, you know. Anyway, so we went back and forth on some of the different ways that you can document. But at the end of the conversation, I said that as we collect, we also have to ask those that are volunteering to help us, right? Help us document that the nonprofits for which they are serving also have a primary purpose of community development and help you with the documentation. Now, we don't make all of our services qualify, right, as community development services. However, banks are very generous with their time and their employees, and we want to encourage volunteerism. But we also want to make sure that we maximize our credit for those volunteer services that also might count under our CRA program. So going back to my initial story, I recommended that this CRA officer go back and embed a process that when she collects information for qualified community development services, when she collects the occurrences and the hours, that she also collects the necessary information to prove the primary purpose of community development, so that later on, when she's about to be examined, you know, her future examination, that she doesn't have to shore up all of the documentation in a hurry when she may not have the time and when time is of the essence. So I know this newly minted CRA officer will get through this exam just fine. But I also know she'll be shoring up her program so that she may never have to scramble at the last minute again, so that we embed these best practices into our CRA program. So when we get that notice of our CRA exam, we position our performance for the satisfactory or outstanding rating that we are looking to secure based on our solid record of impact in our local communities. So I just wanted to remind you that it's not enough that you identify these community development services, although it's important. You must also document how those services support the primary purpose of community development and getting that documentation from your internal stakeholders. So for those of you that don't know, I also wrote a book called Outstanding, A Practitioner's Guide to CRA Exam Readiness. So since we talked about exam prep, I thought I would remind you that that book is on Amazon and available to you. And in chapter 2, I talk about community development activity validation. And that's where you take your community development loans, services, and investments, and you would test for qualification. Does it count or does it not? You would review for ample descriptions, right? That it's clear, concise, and then you would review for ample documentation. So if you're curious and want to revisit that process, it's in chapter 2 of the book. I hope that this tip was a great reminder. And if you've been collecting information without backup, maybe pause and reflect on your practices that exist today and maybe shore up your process of collecting qualified community development services. I hope this tip helped and that you're well on your way to documenting qualified community development services. Until next time, bye for now.
Well, I hope this week's CRA tip was helpful and adds value to you and your CRA program. If you want to take a deeper dive into core concepts of the Community Reinvestment Act and connect with your CRA colleagues, you may want to consider joining the CRA Hub. We go live weekly with CRA-specific activities like core content training, Q&A sessions, challenges, guest speakers, and more. Check out cratoday.com/hub to learn more. Until the next CRA podcast episode, take care of you. Bye for now.